what many organizations and companies are not aware is the impact that the U.S. Hispanic and Latino segment and what it can mean in terms of organizational development. When we look at population growth, the U.S. Hispanic or Latino community is 63 million total, roughly 20% of the population, and that is growing to 111 million by 2060, or 30% of the population. So when there's a population growth, there's opportunity for customer development and workforce development as well. So a population that's growing five times faster than any other is the population that we must pay attention to.
This is Associations Thrive, the podcast celebrating successful associations and their leaders. I'm your host, Joanna Pineda, CEO and Chief Troublemaker at Matrix Group International. Listen in as top association executives tell all, revealing the creative and innovative ways they're increasing membership, generating revenue, nurturing engagement, and reimagining their organizations. By the way, if you've launched a new initiative, created new member services, or updated your governance structure and are seeing great results, I want to hear your story, and so do my listeners. I'd love to have you as a guest. Go to podcast.matrixgroup.net and apply to be on Associations Thrive. Now let's dive into this week's show. Today, I'm speaking with Eduardo Arabu, CEO of the National Hispanic Corporate Council, or NHCC. Eduardo, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Joanna. It's my pleasure to be here and look forward to our conversation.
Eduardo, tell us about NHCC.
So the National Hispanic Corporate Council was founded almost 40 years ago as an organization for corporate America, by corporate America, to educate them on the Hispanic market. We provide thought leadership, best practices, resources, and strategy to help elevate their respective Hispanic strategy around talent, customer, supplier, community relations, and their employee resource group.
So, Eduardo, who are your members?
Our member consists of Fortune 1000 companies and major organizations. So Fortune companies like Coca-Cola, Marriott, Liberty Mutual, State Farm, Shell, NBC Universal, and many others, along with major nonprofits and employers such as the American Red Cross and AARP and many others.
I see.
We convene managers, directors, vice presidents from different corporate functions that manage their Hispanic strategy. So head of HR, marketing, supplier diversity, community relations, or CSR, and again, the employee resource group. We're a community of Latino and non-Latino leaders that are responsible for making such strategies.
Eduardo, your website says that you're a collaborative community of Fortune 1000 members that provide access to Hispanic strategy development to optimize corporate performance. So what does that mean, access to Hispanic strategy development?
Access to Hispanic strategy development is having a strategic partner and identifying the resources that are available for companies to optimize their corporate performance. I believe many companies and organizations want to maximize on their workforce and their marketplace strategy. So we are here to be an extension of their team to help them better understand cultural competency and market information that can be applied as they develop their strategies.
So what I'm hearing, Eduardo, is that companies like Clorox, and I noticed that they're a new member, might join NHCC to really have a more nuanced and more sophisticated and more effective strategy for maybe expanding their Hispanic customer base or expanding their Hispanic workforce. Is that right?
That's correct. Companies look to us to better understand the external factors and resources to help them, whether it's their workplace strategy or their marketplace strategy. When it comes to workplace strategy, we help them with recruiting, retention, development, promotion, things on the human capital side that they can help understand better what the cultural competency and the external marketplace that allows for those type of strategy. On the customer side, again, is attracting and retaining Hispanic customers and supplier diversity with small businesses and procurement, contracting, community relations, and CSR related initiatives to help give back to the community where their associate and customer reside and work as well. And their employee resource group or the affinity group that ties it all together to provide them with the resources that they need to better elevate their internal strategy.
Eduardo, what is the importance of the Hispanic market in the U.S. that there's a whole organization like yours devoted to helping these companies understand their Hispanic strategy better?
Great question. What many organizations and companies are not aware of the impact that the U.S. Hispanic and Latino segment and what it can mean in terms of organizational development. When we look at population growth, the U.S. Hispanic or Latino community is 63 million total, roughly 20% of the population, and that is growing to 111 million by 2060, or 30% of the population. So when there's a population growth, there's opportunities for customer development and workforce development as well. So a population that's growing five times faster than any other is the population that we must pay attention to. So looking at the workforce side of things, as the projection yield, roughly 26% of future workers are Latina and 24% are Latino or male. So if almost 50% of new workforce growth is going to be Hispanic and Latino, what is the company's strategy in terms of recruiting, retaining, and development, and also steering young professional and youth into career and pathways that that organization needs? On the customer side, if you group us all together and give us our own country, we'll be the fifth largest economy in the world. And that continues to grow in that area. We are the third fastest growing global market after China, India. That's just the U.S. Latino right here in our own country. So from a customer perspective, what can organizations and companies do to attract that clientele in terms of growth and development as well?
Well, we have a lot to get into when we start getting into some of the details about your different programs. But before we do that, Eduardo, let's talk about your journey. So how do you get to become CEO of NHCC?
Yeah, so as many of us in the association space, we did not go to school for association, and many of us did not intentionally end up in association. But I think our life experience, education, and background were building blocks to lead organization and association. My background started in human resources and talent acquisition. I also worked in government affairs and media relations and some other opportunities that I had that I think were foundational to leadership and association. About 10 years ago, I was brought in as a deputy, a number two, to manage the association. 5 years later, I had an opportunity. I was promoted to the senior chief staff executive position as CEO. And ever since, I've been looking at not only my personal development with many organizations like Association Forum and ASAE and many other groups as well, but also giving back, participating in podcasts, mentoring, coaching, and opening the doors for the next generation of association leaders as well.
Eduardo, what does it mean to you to be Latino yourself and running an organization that is really fostering just a better strategy around reaching the Hispanic and Latino markets and Hispanic and Latino workforce? What does that mean to you?
It means the world to me. It's a very privileged position to be leading an organization as a Hispanic to move along the journey and the inclusion of Hispanic and Latino in corporate America specifically to help companies advance along with our community. So not only do we get to fulfill our mission by supporting companies, the end result is supporting our respective community around the country. So it's a unique position to be, very privileged, especially on the workforce development side, where we're helping companies better understand our community for recruiting, retention, and development purposes, which we all know that yields to equal pay, higher salary, job placement, which then goes to economic growth and home ownership and family quality of life and many other opportunities in that realm. Also on the supplier diversity, contracting, pillar, there's 5 million Hispanic-owned businesses in the U.S., of which 2 million are owned by Latina.
Wow.
So educating companies on how they can do their contracting with these small businesses is another avenue of another community of Latino entrepreneurs and small business owners, which again, lead to economic growth, quality of life, and many other opportunities. And finally, in the community relations CSR aspect, you know, companies that reap in the reward of us as customer and are very profitable in terms of revenue and growth and other opportunities there, now it's time to reinvest in the community, whether scholarship programs or any community CSR related initiatives that they can give back to the communities that help them grow to the company that they are. So overall, I think it's a very wonderful, unique opportunity to lead this group, which again, is for corporate America, by corporate America, but at the end result, they grow and our community grows as well.
What an amazing position to be in. Eduardo, let's turn to NHCC. During the prep, you said that membership is growing, and I'm curious to dive into what is really driving that growth. So let's start with your Convening Leader series. Tell us about that. I think that's both virtual and in person.
Yes, our Convening Leaders program is an opportunity where we bring various representatives from our member companies to come and learn more about cultural competency, cultural awareness, market information, and how it can make or break their respective corporate function and their organization as well. And so it's a learning opportunity. It's an opportunity to connect, learn, share, and network. What are the thought leadership, best practices, resources, and strategy so we can elevate our respective organization? So these Convening Leaders program and many of our other engagements foster that collaborative community, understanding what are other organizations doing in this particular space, and how can some of those be options or resources for us? Now, every industry company is different. Their priorities are different. But understanding how other companies are working and driving towards success might be a resource for that respective company to consider, to advocate for, to build around, or to modify and adjust that strategy that makes sense for them.
Eduardo, how do you get these companies to share this information about, say, workforce development, attracting workers and retaining them, when they're often competing with each other? How do you do that?
Well, most of the information shared is not proprietary, so we'll start there. It is a safe space. It is a collaborative community. You did sign up to participate. Sometimes you participate more than others or share certain information or data set. But it's really about fostering a coalition, a collaborative community that is, while we're competing in this space, we want to advance our respective stakeholder. We want to advance the Hispanic community. And while they may go work at one company for a few years, they might end up at their competing company later down their career journey. So it's really about putting together heart, mind, and soul to move forward an agenda that win-win for everyone.
Well, let me ask you another question. So I grew up in San Francisco, and it wasn't a monolithic Hispanic Latino community. At my high school, for example, there was a Salvadoran club and a Guatemalan club and a Mexican club. Are the best practices for talent development and customer development nuanced that way? It has to be, right?
Yes, we are not a monolith. When you think about it, we represent over 20 plus countries of Latin America, different dialects, races, background, and whatnot. Even languages, even though we all speak a common core Spanish, there's different words and different meanings and so forth. From a customer perspective, it's very important to segment that and to understand the region in the U.S. and why Florida tends to be a little bit more Latin American, Cuban, Puerto Rican, right, style, Hispanic and Latino, New York, a little bit more Puerto Rican, Dominican. The Southwest, more Mexico, Central American. So understanding the different region, the different group, and how they're similar and different can build out your customer market plan for that aspect.
And that type of nuanced knowledge you can get from NHCC and that understanding.
Correct. For many companies, once we provide them with the market segment information, fifth largest economy in the world, third fastest growing economy after China and India, then we have their attention. They're like, tell me more. And then we tell them, well, you need to have a plan for a population that's growing from 63 million to 111 million. Okay, tell me more. Now, what you need is a culturally relevant ad agency or communication firm that understands all the different Hispanic and Latino makeup and understanding where they're located. As I mentioned earlier, Southwest tend to be more Central America and Mexico, given the proximity to Central American, Florida more Latin American, South America, and different regions. And when you look at populations like in Washington, D.C., for example, why are there so many Salvadorian Central American? It's because of immigration policies and resettlement policies and things like that that allow certain people to settle in certain areas. So understanding that is important. So NHCC provides that as a strategic partnership to help you guide this conversation, start putting together a framework for your customer development strategy. And then we advise you to work with a culturally relevant ad agency communication firm that can drive those marketing campaigns forward.
Wow. Well, you have something else that I'm curious about. It's called the Latino DEI Collective. So tell us about that.
Yeah, the Latino DEI Collective is an exciting initiative that we launched roughly about 3-4 years ago. It is a platform and ecosystem for Latino DEI practitioners. So chief diversity officer, vice president of diversity, equity, and inclusion to get together to do some of the same work that NHCC does. Thought leadership, best practices, resources, on the topic of diversity, equity, and inclusion, whether emerging issues like affirmative action cases, the Supreme Court, or many other related topics, and what are the best ways to handle those type of situations, and also career development. How do we prepare the next generation of DEI executives, so those managers and directors who are coming up the rank, and provide them with that mentorship, that development, that sponsorship, and access to resources that they may need as well. The Latino DEI Collective is open to any DEI practitioner. We do invite non-Latino, but the focus is for Latinos. And we also invite those from corporate, government, nonprofit, association, and other sports and other organizations that are leading those charges.
Well, Eduardo, speaking of professional development, you have something called the Latino Executive Accelerator Program. Tell us about that.
Yes, it's one of our newest initiatives. As we've done our research, we mentioned earlier that the Latino population is almost 20% the total U.S. population, yet only 4% make it to the highest rank or the C-suite in corporate America. And so there's a glass ceiling there. Latinos tend to get hired on quickly, they work hard, they make it to the management rank, but for some reason, there is a ceiling or a buffer into more senior roles. Here at NHCC, we look at it twofold. What can the individual and our community do to elevate themselves? But what is the company doing to intentionally bring us as well? We can be the perfect candidate, but if the companies are not willing and able and sponsoring and creating those pathways, will never continue to grow. So we kicked off the Latino Executive Accelerator Program, which is a six-month hybrid program between virtual programming and a two-day immersion session that will be featuring, again, subject matter expert, faculty, and thought leadership on not only business acumen and core competency to grow, but also the professional development and career management skills that are necessary to excel to the next level.
So what I'm hearing is you're kind of prepping some of your Latino and Hispanic leaders for the C-suite. And I've often heard that one thing that kind of holds some people back is this very ambiguous notion called executive presence. How do you teach that?
When it comes to executive presence, we can provide and challenge individuals to step up and to elevate, to go outside of their comfort zone to understand how they're showing up in the workplace and how others are seeing them. But most of it is a little bit of trial and error, or a little bit of experience, right? It's about looking the part, being prepared. It's about speaking up. It's about taking on assignments. It's about different attributes and ways of carrying yourself that makes you an executive. And there's no one secret sauce or one secret solution that makes you an executive. It's just how you carry yourself based on your abilities. And some of that is overcoming a little bit of imposter syndrome. And how do you get over that? You know, if you're competent, then you'll have accomplishment. When you have accomplishment, you'll have the confidence.
Yeah.
And if you can take that, you start to mold yourself into more of an executive president type leader.
Is the accelerator program something that people apply for, and do they pay for the privilege?
Correct. There's a program offered to our member company that are nominated, self-nominated, or appointed within the company. There is a fee for them to participate. Once they get accepted, they go through the six-month program. And there's an alumni engagement. There's some challenges to apply for your next role within the next 12 to 18 months once you complete the program. There are challenges to serve on a nonprofit board. So not only do we give you the foundational support and the framework, but then we also continue on with challenges after the program to make sure that you look at a new role, you talk to your direct supervisor about the next step, you look at new assignments, you consider nonprofit boards and other ways that you can elevate your career.
It sounds like this isn't just a six-month engagement. It really becomes almost a lifelong engagement because you've got this alumni network. You said something really provocative during the prep, which is one of the things that you teach them in the accelerator program is to have a personal board of directors. We think of companies having boards of directors, but you said that you encourage them to have a personal board of directors. So do you have a board of directors?
I do, and I've leveraged them throughout my career. And it's something I learned many, many years ago about having a personal board of directors. People who advocate for you, people who are champions, people who are mentors and sponsors, people who want to see you be successful, people who are smarter than you, people who are at your level a few years out, or even younger folk, right? There's so much technology changes with social media and other platforms that you can have younger folk coach you through TikTok or other platforms as well. I think it's important for every individual to have a personal board of directors, regardless of what level you're at. If you're more on the junior side, maybe your teacher, maybe your counselor, maybe friends, former bosses, individuals who care for your success. And I think that's important for us to have, because as we go through our career, we don't know what we don't know. We're not sure if we're making the right decision. Family can help, friends can help too, but sometimes it's a little too personal. And might not have the foresight from an industry perspective, from a career perspective, or other areas that might apply and help you. So a board of director can also help you with your personal finances. As you climb the career rank and you start to earn more income, what do you do with that income? How do you invest it? How do you protect yourself, retirement? Just more of life solutions as well as career supporters.
Eduardo, have you told these individuals that they're on your personal board of directors, and how do you continue to cultivate them?
Yes, some know, some are permanent members, and some are in and out, and some don't know. We maintain contact. Communications is important. Letting them know on any progress, accomplishment, award, life transition, things like that. And most of all, thanking them. They might think they haven't helped you, or they might think that they weren't that meaningful in impact. So letting them know that, hey, thank you for this, thank you for that, giving them an accomplishment update, and maintaining like an open line of communication and inviting them to engagement whenever possible.
What amazing advice. Eduardo, it is Hispanic Heritage Month here in the United States. How are you celebrating the month?
Well, for me, I get to celebrate all year long.
It's true.
As a Hispanic and Latino, my background is Venezuelan, born in South America, grew up in Chicago, spent some time in D.C. I grew up in a very multicultural type neighborhood. So not only Hispanic Heritage Month is important, but other groups as well. I have friends from all walks of life. But again, for me, it's I get to celebrate all year long. Obviously, this is a specific focus in that time of year, and it's time for the good stuff, like, you know, flag and the food and the fun element of it. And really just appreciating who we are, what we have to offer, and just really being a fabric of the general American life, right? We just happen to be Hispanic American background. And now echo Diageo Buchanan spirit, where they have a campaign commercial, the 200%, 100% American, 100% Latino. And that's how I carry myself, a product of that 200%. So we get to live it day in, day out, encourage others, welcome others, build allyship, whether it's through food and soccer or sports or many other elements of our culture, celebrate proudly, and do so outside of the Hispanic Heritage Month.
Eduardo, this has been a terrific interview. I've learned so much. I hope that you'll come back in the future and tell us about all the wonderful things that you're doing to really advance the mission of the organization. And I know I'll just learn a lot of really interesting tidbits.
Thank you for the invitation. I look forward to participate at any time. Any way I can be a resource to any of your listeners and audience, glad to support them. And happy Hispanic Heritage Month to everyone.
Thanks for listening to Associations Thrive. We're so glad to have you here. You know, my personal mission and the mission of my company, Matrix Group International, is to help associations and nonprofits increase membership, generate revenue, and thrive in the digital space. I want to hear stories of how your organization is thriving in today's challenging landscape. Please apply to be on my show by going to podcast.matrixgroup.net. By the way, do you need help with a digital initiative? Maybe it's a website redesign, a new membership database, or a hybrid meeting that you're planning. I'd love to connect with you. Please visit the Matrix Group website at matrixgroup.net. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Associations Thrive. Don't forget to subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star rating, post a comment, and share it with your colleagues and friends. Bye!